We have a message over in Ephesians, and I know you're going to look at it and say, well, we know this passage. You preached on this more than once. Well, that's what he's brought again. And so I'm noticing, like last week, the Lord brought a message, and I brought that, not that message, but that passage somewhere back in the summer, June or July. But it doesn't matter. If that's where God is saying, hey, bring the basics back. We're going to basics and saying, don't forget. And I've said many, many times in here, if you forget the basics, that's where you mess up. That's the stuff you take for granted. And so we're going where God leads us. And I just titled this one, Standing Strong. It's out of Ephesians 6. You say, oh, we know this. Yeah, and it's the stuff we know that we mess up in. And so let's read this together and see where this applies in our lives today, because it really, truly does, you know, cedar pollen and all. And so, beginning with verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6, finally be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. This is a New International Version that I'm using. If you have a different, it'll say just a little different, means the same thing. And then he says, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And we read that stuff, and it's like, do we grasp what that means? Well, we're going to define it, look at it, what it meant in the original language, what it means for us, and don't usually do that. So we're going to take some more of a teaching lesson today. That's why I want to be more settled down and not as rowdy as I was last week. And then he says, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Now, you heard me a couple of weeks ago, and I mentioned it last week, talking about these things that are out there that we don't see, and that our warfare is not where we see it. It's where we don't see it. And he brings it to the light here. He says, our struggle, and everyone, listen, if every Christian would pay attention to this and pray in this spiritual warfare, you'd see things happening more rapidly. He says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. So everybody hear that? He lays it out there. I've run into people, and let me pause here for a minute. We'll read the rest of it, who say, oh, now, Tony, don't lead us off into some other realm. Friends, that realm is real. This is not about the personalities that you may like or don't like. And especially for a lot of us, there's a bunch of them. I'll speak for myself. Right now, there's a lot of personalities that I really don't like. Okay? I really don't like. Okay? But I can pray, Lord, bind whatever running for this office or do that. But what I need to be doing is saying, God, bind the spirit that's empowering them. Break that from them, and they're nothing. They're being used by the devil and by these authorities of the dark world to try. Listen, Satan is trying to gain dominion on this earth, and the earth belongs to the Lord and everything in it. And this is a gigantic spiritual warfare, and we as God's people need to see who the real enemy is. These people we're naming, and we all know the personalities. Yes, I'm praying for God to take them out of office. But if you don't break that power behind them, they'll stick their ugly heads up somewhere else. So this is where the battle is for you and me, and we need to know it and come against it. So here it is. This is not to scare you. It's to say there's another dimension out here. And I will get into that in a moment. Against authorities. So our battle is against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world. And look at this. Against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You ever read this stuff? I mean, really read it for what it is? See, here's what happens in this passage. We hear these messages in the teachings, and guess what they're on every time? On the armor. But what we don't hear is why we need the armor. We're going to talk about the armor, but we're going to talk also why we need the armor. Because we're in a warfare not against flesh and blood. It's not just against things you see. It's against the things you can't see. Therefore, that's when he says, put on the full armor of God so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground and after you've done everything to stand. So he says, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And in addition to all this, take up the helmet of faith. And actually, the shield of faith, and that you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil. And I'm getting ahead of myself. I like teaching this stuff. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the, I like helmets. Okay, so take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So he gives the armor, and that's where pastors like to preach on the army. We're going to put on the armor. Well, we'll talk about the armor. And pray in the Spirit, and we leave that one out. That's usually not included when you're teaching this. It's just on the armor. Pray in the Spirit, he says, on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. And with this in mind, be alert. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Wow, what a passage, okay? There's so much in there, there's no way we can cover it all, but we will hit the highlights. And the first thing he says, listen, he says, I want you to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And he's talking about here spiritual warfare and battling against things you cannot see. This is not meant to frighten anybody. But if you've been in this business and prayed for a lot of people, have any of you ever been in an environment where you knew there was a demonic presence? Okay? All right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And for some of you may be going, ooh, let's don't go too far. We won't. Here's the point. That's what these authorities and the dark world and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Let me give you something here. When you study this stuff and you go back to the old commentators, okay? And I know there's commentators and there's sweet taters and there's Idaho potatoes. But anyway, so we're going back to the old, you know, the old commentators, okay? Those, you know, and what I call the guys that really had it together. And some of my best studies in Scripture, I don't use internet, because I don't have it anyway out there. But I go back to, I have lots of commentaries written by old scholars. And I trust those a lot more than the ones written by the newer scholars. Let me tell you that right now. Because they want to water it down. They want to make everything all touchy-feely. You know, let's go back and I want to look at the original documents. I want to look at my Greek lexicon. I want to look at the Hebrew. So we go back into this thing. And as one of them put it this way, he said, there is like a lower heaven, but it's not a godly heaven, it's a demonic heaven. And I thought, okay, why don't you just say it the way we'd say it today? It's like the Twilight Zone. You know, there's another dimension. Okay. And you say, Tony, do you really believe this stuff? That's exactly what he's saying. He said there's rulers in spiritual darkness, there's another dimension. And every born-again believer does not have to fear that dimension at all. But if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you've got something to fear. Because that stuff, these spirits, and many say, well, these are those fallen angels. When Satan, Lucifer at the time, rebelled against God, he was cast out of heaven. You find that in it. You can see it in Ezekiel. It says he was the son of the morning star. Lucifer at one time was apparently a really beautiful, magnificent creature, but his heart, he had choice. His heart was filled with pride, and he waged war against God, and he wanted to be God. And it says in Luke 10, Jesus said, I saw him when he was thrown out of heaven and cast to the earth. Look in Luke chapter 10, and it describes that whole event. And it says, now we're given authority as believers in Christ over him. He doesn't have authority over us. But you go and read Luke 10. The disciples came back. 72 disciples were sent out. They came back and said, Lord, even the subjects are spirit. The spirits are all subject to us. And he said, oh, listen. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He said, I was there. I watched it happen in the Great War. Whatever happened, all the details were not given. But there was a celestial war that we're not a part of, but we get the results of. And I've mentioned this before, and then one of the things I just really want to know is, Lord, couldn't you cast him on Mars? You know, really, anywhere but here? He just had to be thrown down here and cause all this havoc? I don't understand all that, do you? And no commentator or sweet potato or nobody else that writes about this stuff, you know, nobody knows. But for some reason, the devil was cast to earth. Of all the places, put him on a barren planet. Let him kick up dust somewhere else. Instead, he's come down here to torment you and I don't understand, we will not understand that until we get to heaven, but we have to deal with it whether you understand it or not. Okay, everybody good with that? Okay, I don't want to cause any contusions here, but we need to get this straight in our heads. And then Jesus there, when he said that, he said, I saw him cast down. He said, but I give you, Christians, my believers, authority to walk among snakes and scorpions, serpents and scorpions. What are we talking about there? He's not literally talking about snakes and scorpions. He's talking about those wicked things that accompany the devil, that either those fallen angels that came with him or whatever it is that you've understood it to be. But there are demonic spirits. And he said, I give you authority to walk on them and crush them. Crush them. And then he also says, Jesus give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will by any means harm you. So get that in your head. None of this can harm you. However, he can mess with you. And he can try to torment you. And I see these demonic forces, these demonic spirits, they're at work right now, friends. And they're using people who are given over to these spirits. And that's how you see them, in the way the evil that people... Do you think Hitler had demonic spirits? How about Stalin? Closer to our time, Saddam Hussein. You can name a bunch more. Do you think that they were possessed of the enemy? Maybe the devil in the flesh working through them? Of course. Of course. They couldn't do all these things. Hitler couldn't have done what he did without some demonic presence guarding him. And I've had many people, you know, say, why couldn't we take him out? I'll tell you something. They tried. His own people tried more than once. They couldn't get him until God's appointed time. And I don't understand all that and why so many people had to suffer and die because of someone that evil. But you say, was he on his own able? No. No. What does the devil want? Listen, I don't want to give him any credit. I just want you got to understand your enemy. What does the devil want? He wants world dominion. He wants this earth. And he wants you. But he can't get you. The moment you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart, you became his enemy because he could never get you. You're gone. And what do we read here a few weeks ago? God has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son, Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. He can't get us. We've been delivered. But the devil hates us for it, that we've turned and we left him and we no longer serve him. But these people that you're looking at now, I mean, one of them has stood up and said, if we get the Senate, this is not a political thing. I'm just showing this world dominion thing. He said, if we get the Senate, we get the country. And if we get the country, we get the world. There it is. There it is. World dominion. I thought, there it is. There's Nazism. There's Hitler. There's Stalin. There's all these people right there in front of us. When you say something like that, you don't want America, you want the world. Who are you to want the world? Who do you think you are? I'll tell you, it's the enemy behind it. And that's, you cut the legs out. You know, the old saying, cut the head off the serpent, you don't have to fear the rest of it. And that's what you got to do. And in the spiritual warfare, you come against the devil. And what our demonic spirit is attached to these people and command it rebuked and bound in the name of Jesus. I know we're getting in. I know you're saying, wow, Tony, are you really? Yes. I've been in churches I couldn't preach this in. Now, you know, the old denomination I was in, if I preached this kind of message, I would have a meeting right afterwards. And I'm serious. There's no joke about that. But this stuff's real, and I always wanted to talk about it and say, folks, we don't get it. No wonder so many people are tormented out here, and so many, you know, the weird things. So when I asked you a while ago, if you've ever been in the presence of something demonic, listen to me, have you ever brought anything into your home and you knew something evil was attached to it? Oh, more than one. Yes. And people have asked me to come to their homes. They said, something's not right in our home. There's something wrong here in this house. And I walk through there, and first thing I do is anoint everything with oil. And then I go in. And before you know it, there'll be something I just keep drawing towards. And I'll ask them, what's the history of this right here? It may be something totally innocent looking. What is the history of this? Well, I don't know. You know, and I find it was picked up in Jamaica or somewhere in... And then you find out the background, and all of a sudden there's curses on it, whatever. And he said, get this out of your house. I've been and walked through libraries, people's libraries, and it's like, what is this book right here? What's this about? And they said, oh, I don't know. My grandmother had it or whatever. But, and you open it, and it was on there, some things in there on witchcraft and how to use Ouija boards and all this. Friends, listen to me. That kind of thing, get rid of it. I'm not trying to be erratic. I know this kind of thing would, like I said, would have gotten me a lot of trouble. And don't go off on me and think, he's crazy. What is wrong? I'm trying to show you. There's just stuff. If there's something that keeps bothering you in your room, why don't you look around and say, what's wrong in here? If you can't sleep at night and something keeps jerking you awake, or you think you're feeling something, anybody ever feel like they're feeling something in the room and it's not there? Anybody else? Yes, okay. Well, I have too. And I'll tell you something weird. Where I live, when I first moved in there, I don't know if I ought to tell this or not. I put a chair in a place I wanted it in the living room. And I'd get up of a morning and that chair was moved over. I'd put the chair back. I might have mentioned it. Did I mention you, Pat? Yeah. And that chair would be moved again. And it's like, what in the world is going on here? And I didn't feel something real evil. Something was not right. Well, after asking around and checking back in the history of that, the people that lived there in the early stages of the home's fairly old, and he died there. And it came to be that's where he liked to sit. So I had to cleanse that and come against it, and please don't wear it out here. But in the name of Jesus, rebuke that, and that chair never moved again. I said, go wherever you need to go, but I just get out of here. This is my place now. And I claimed the blood of Jesus over it, and it all stopped. Isn't that weird? And I've been in places, and I've been in share groups, and I was in I was invited years ago at the Dominion of all places, and was in a group, cell group at the Dominion. And you know, that was a different world for me. That was an experience, but it was all right until one of the people in there began to act real funny, and I questioned what was in that person. Of course, there's all those people in the Dominion, you know, they're kind of going, you know, different world. But that, it was a girl, and her voice suddenly changed, and this real guttural, masculine voice came out and challenged, and she had an evil presence right there in her. And I just ran up there, and I, don't touch, you know, don't touch. But I just, in Jesus' name, and then people started praying, and she started shaking, and all of a sudden went still, and it was gone. And she started speaking in her right voice, and that was the end of it. And I had to sit down, utterly exhausted. Every time I've done it, and then it will exhaust you, but I'm not trying to get into doing all that. I haven't had to do that in a long time, that kind of thing. But so I'm telling you, I've had the experience of being in that situation, and I'm not coming out of some book here. I'm coming out of the Bible with this, but I want you to know behind it, these things are out there. It's not something to be afraid of. I'm not raising this issue. God didn't give me this message for all of us to go and weird out on evil spirits. It's simply to say, don't be praying for the wrong thing, against the wrong thing. Yes, pray against people to be bound, evil people, but come against the spirit that's using them and break that. That person has no power. Is everybody with me? And you cut that, and I've had to learn the hard way and tell pastors, if you're having a lot of dissension in your church, don't be looking at the people. I've made that mistake in my life. Look, cast out, come against the spirit, what the devil is, you know, what spirit is assigned there to cause that, break that, and that, you've won the issue. And we have that authority. So let me go back to this, now that I've said this, and remember this. When he says, stand strong in the Lord and in his mighty power and put on the full armor of God, he's telling you to stand strong because, listen to this, this is most important. Jesus Christ has already won this battle. He won it at the cross. Through his death and resurrection, Jesus won. Jesus won. He conquered Satan. He crushed him. And as we looked at some prior messages here the last few weeks, he did what? It says he stripped these powers, the devil and these powers, he stripped them and led them in procession in a victory parade. That's what it says. Everybody with me here? but we haven't appropriated. And here comes appropriation. Here's that big word. It's a big seminary word we threw around. It made us feel educated, you know, appropriation. But what it means is, you know, we haven't appropriated that victory. It means Jesus Christ won this victory, but too many Christians have never taken that victory and claimed it for their own. His victory is your victory. Why don't we claim that over the enemy? If you don't like what's going on, claim the victory of Jesus Christ. And that's what he says in Romans 8. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. That's what he's trying to tell us. And claim that victory and pray the name of Jesus over it, and the victory of Jesus over the flesh, the world, the devil, the earth belongs to God, not the enemy. Is everybody with me? And appropriate it. Take it. Claim his victory. The problem here is, the catch. You say, yes, there's always got to be a catch, isn't there? Yes. Okay. Here's the catch. Most of the time, I have to be exposed to the enemy, to his devices, before I start crying out and claiming Jesus' victory. Why? Because human nature is to try to fight it myself. I'll fix it. I'll fix it. I got this. I mean, I was taught that. How many of us do that? You know, I got this. I can handle that. And Jesus saying, okay, go right ahead. And when you're flat on your back and cry out to me, I'll come. But I won't force myself on you, you know, and we'll fight and we'll all, like I was last week. Boy, I was having to keep it, you know, at a tolerable level. And then God began to show me. And it's like, son, it's all right to be righteously indignant. But do you think you're going to fix it? Why don't you start claiming my victory over this? My defeating the enemy. Why don't you claim my power and my authority over all this political stuff, anything in your life, anything in your home, whatever in your family? Why don't you appropriate my victory in your life instead of having to fight until you drop? In other words, why don't you come to me first instead of last? Why do we do that? You ever thought about it? Oh, we'll say, Lord, give me the strength. Give me this and give me that. But what are you really saying? Give me so I can. Right? Think about how we pray. I do it too. And then he has to get my attention. It's like, Tony, what are you saying? Give me your strength so I can overcome this. Instead of saying, Jesus, you've already overcome this. You've defeated this. I take your victory into my life. I can't whip it. You can. You're God. You're Savior. You're Lord. You threw Satan out of heaven. You got this thing. I'm a vessel in your hands, and through me, take the victory to them and defeat them. That's a lot different than me saying, give me the strength to do it. That thing's, what's it trying to do over there? Talk back to me. So anyway, maybe I'm touching something here too. Okay. So now let's look at this real quick. He says, be strong. What he's saying is, what does that mean? It means be strong. Listen to this. When he says, be strong in what? Be strong in the power that raised Jesus from the dead. That power. Be strong in the power that raised you from the dead. Every person, every believer in this room has been raised from the dead. Do you realize that? Every single one of us has been what? We were raised from death, spiritual death, and brought into newness of life through our faith in Jesus Christ. We were dead to God, and He performed. Listen, everyone in this room, when you put your faith in Christ, has been resurrected. That's what baptism is. You died to the old nature, brought to life in the new. You've already experienced the first death. Don't even know it. Did it ever hit you? Is it hitting you now? We've already died once. I already died spiritually. I died to death and condemnation. I died to hell. I can't go there. Jesus Christ saved me from that and transferred me into his kingdom because I put my faith in Christ, repented of my sins, and I'm born again, and I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus cleansed me, and I've been raised to life. I have died to myself. What is it? What does it say? It says, I have been crucified with Christ. But nevertheless I live, but the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. So we've all been crucified. We've been crucified to those sins. They're all dead. We're in newness of life, and we're to appropriate his victory. So be strong in that power that raised Jesus and that raised us from spiritual death to spiritual life. That's the power he wants. We have the power to cast out demons in Jesus' name. We have power to lay our hands on the sick and pray for them and recover. We're just not exercising it. We appropriate everything Jesus did on this earth. Why, if he's in me, why can't it happen through my life? You ever ask yourself that? If Jesus touched people and they were healed and he's in me, what's to keep him from using me? It's not me, but say, Tony, that's my hand through your hand. Lay that hand on someone. I will heal them. What's to stop that? It's him. He's the same Jesus living in here that walked the earth, is he not? Look at that power that he has. Look at the power that's in you. Christ in me, my hope of glory. And we say those passages, are we getting it? Is it soaking in? How much power that Jesus Christ, he's in me. And he's already won this thing. I just need to appropriate it instead of fighting it myself all the time. Okay, secondly. I bet you're ready. Yeah, let's get to point two. Wow. Okay. Point two is this. Know your enemy. Know your enemy. Man, that's one thing in spiritual, in any battle. One of the things I had to learn as a cadet and a brand new second lieutenant in an infantry, I was an airborne infantry unit, and it was this. You better learn your enemy. You better know that ground. You need what we call, in those days, we didn't have drones, and we didn't have all the satellite coverage so you had to send people out there, and they had to recon. And you had a recon team, had a recon platoons, and you sent these recon guys out, and they had to recon that territory. You want to know where all the traps are. Where are the places that he can maneuver us into? Where are his weaknesses? That enemy can't be strong everywhere, and you want to find out where is he weak? On the flanks, in the rear, in his forward positions? Has he extended himself too far? Is he too far from his supply base where if we make him fire up what his initial ammo is, he can't get resupplied if we send the team in and cut that off? And so you look at all of that and you put together a battle plan. And you come against him and you hit him and you hit him hard and you hit him aggressively, you hit him viciously, and you run over him. And you hit him where he's least expecting you to hit him. And we put together this stuff and we worked little sand tables and just putting little sticks in the dirt and all this. But we worked out a battle plan. And we're going to maneuver fire team here. We're going to do this here. And when I became a company commander, then you had four platoons. And you're moving these platoons. And we're going to do this. We're going to draw fire over here. But we're going to move this element over here. And you worked in on him and you got him. And friends, the problem here, so many Christians, they don't know the enemy. They don't know how he works. They don't know where he's at. They don't understand when it's him messing with them. No, you don't worship him. I said, know him. Know him so you can defeat him. And he mentions four aspects of the enemy here. And I won't read back over this, but he talks about the rulers and against powers and all this stuff. So let me give these four things real quick. First of all, he gives you four aspects of of our foe. And one is rulers. And that word in the Greek meant demonic forces. Demonic forces. They want to rule, and that word that he used for rulers was demonic forces. Whatever they are, you can call them fallen angels, whatever they be, they're demonic forces. And by the way, they've been totally defeated by Christ. And then he went around just cast them out this whole time on the earth. And then when he died and rose again, he busted them. They were busted. And you don't have to worry, you just in Jesus' name. But listen to me, they're still here to influence, listen to me, they're still here trying to influence you to deny your faith, and they're still here trying to control people who won't accept Christ. They're defeated by Jesus, and when you ask Jesus in your heart, they're defeated in you. But if you won't ask Jesus in your heart, then they have control. Everybody with me? And that's why this is such a terrible spiritual warfare. And he mentions authorities. And what that literally meant, that word that he was using at this point, was unseen forces opposing the purpose of God. So he said, you've got these rulers, and that's these demons, and they're trying to rule. Remember these, you know, the two guys in the Gadarenes, he went across the sea, and they were so full, they sent them into a herd of pigs. And the pigs rushed down and ran off the cliff, and they drowned. There were so many. See, those are those demonic things that Jesus totally has authority over. You have that authority. You don't have nothing to fear. You really don't. If it's your life you fear for, why do you fear for your life? I used to. When I was younger, you know, I sure did. You say, well, are you volunteering for the next train out? Nope. But I don't fear it as much as I used to. I really don't. Now, I might be in a situation where I fear, you know, dying, but there is no death. I'm finally beginning to get the perspective here. There's no death for us. How can I die when I've already been raised? And isn't that comforting? I've already been raised to life. This is not me. My spirit is me. My soul is me. All this stuff is not me. I'm sure glad because this gets grayer and grayer, and this is wider and wider. I'm going to shave this off one of these days. Y'all believe that? Okay. So I lied. All right. So anyway. Pray for me. Anyway. But this is not me. This is what you perceive as me. You know what the real me is? The real me is who you hear speaking up here. The real me is the fruit that you see. That's the spirit, the soul person working out. That's why Jesus said, don't judge anybody but what they say. By their fruits you'll know them. That's how you know the real person. Not what's on the outside, but what comes out of them. You get to see who the real individual is. And then one day my soul and spirit will be matched with the body. Then they all come together. So we're kind of out of place, out of context. That's why we feel awkward. You ever feel just awkward on earth at times? You know what I mean? Like you don't belong here? Okay, I'm the only one. Okay, oh, there's another one too. Anybody else? You ever feel like this just don't belong here? You don't. You should feel like a stranger here. You're an alien, the scripture says. You're an alien. When you ask Jesus in your heart, you don't belong here anymore. Your life's in the kingdom of God. This is temporary duty down here. You're just on TDY, I used to call it the military. Temporary duty. That's all you are. So, then there's the powers, he says, of the dark world. And in the Greek, you know what that word meant? And this is what concerns me here with what's going on around us. The word powers in the Greek means potentate. And you know what potentate is? Potentate is one who aspires to world control. And that's what we see, the spirit of potentate. That's the spirit that I'm seeing that aspires to world control. That's what one person, you know, has already said, you know, we're going to control the world. That's a potentate. That person is being controlled by the powers of the dark world and a potentate spirit. And then there's spiritual forces of evil. In other words, there's an unseen world, and we've already said that, and that's enough on all that. And you say, should I be afraid of any of this? Not one bit. You tainted it, but where we're failing as Christians, we're not taking authority over this. And listen to me, hear me. I'm not out to beat the drum on against anybody. I'm not out to hurt anybody. I'm simply saying this. Friends, listen. We're not here as Christians to be coming and feeling good. We're here as Christians to become good. Spirit-filled, righteous. Too many people want to go to church and feel good. Oh, I want to walk out feeling good too. But that's not what church was designed for. That's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about God's goodness developing in each one of us, His righteousness in us, and His power. His power. So that when the enemy comes against you, you just stand your ground. I'm going to talk about that real quick in a minute. We'll keep here all day. Ooh, almost am already. And we come against Him, and we're immovable. That's what we're here for. We're here to show the world that Jesus Christ is real. And how are we going to show that if we're not allowed to go through some things? That's why you go through temptation, sorrows, grief, and all this kind of stuff. They see the real people. They see the real Christianity come out in crisis. I said before and I'll say it again, I believe God's letting us be put against the wall with a lot that's happening out here so that the real Christians stand forth. Separate the wheat from the chaff. Let's see who's got it. Who's really real or who's just talking. Okay, we've got to fight like warriors and we're running out of time, so this is going to be a real quick deal. Here's a real sandbox sketch, okay? We've got to fight like God's warriors. And he says, put on the belt of truth. You know what that is? You said, yes, I know that. That's the truth of God's word. Yes, it is. It's what Jesus says, but it's more than that. Really went back on that, saying, I want to research this. Because I'm always saying, I've always been taught, and I've taught that, I teach it myself, the belt of truth is the truth of God's word. Yes, it is, but there's more involved there. You know what he meant by that? You know, the Roman soldiers wore that big old broad belt, and they had their, I call it their knife, their little saber. There's terms for all that, but kind of everything hinged on that. But it's not just the truth of God's word. It says it's also the truth of who Jesus is. The belt of truth he put around is the truth of his word, but he's saying, I want you to bear fruit of who he is. And we miss that. You see, it's not just quoting the word, it's being who he is. That's powerful, isn't it? That's the truth. And he says everything hinges on this belt of truth that you put on first. And it's the truth of his word and the truth of who Jesus Christ is. And that holds everything else to get your belt around your waist. And then he said, I want you to put on the breastplate of righteousness. That the Roman soldiers and Paul, he was in chains at this time, by the way, when he wrote this. And he had Roman soldiers who came and tended him. So he saw this stuff all the time. That's why he used this reference so much. But that breastplate we talk about, you know, that they wore, man, that was some tough stuff. But what we miss is when they put on the breastplate of righteousness, it had a back plate that came down, way down here below the belt line. The breastplate was also protecting their back. And when he says, put on the breastplate of righteousness, he's saying, when I ask Jesus in my heart, he declares me righteous because I confess and repent of my sins, and his blood cleanses me from all sin, all unrighteousness. Everybody good so far? And so that's my breastplate when I'm going to battle, is because the devil will accuse you and say, who do you think you are? Anybody ever had that happen in your mind? Who are you? Who are you to get up here and preach? Who are you to witness to somebody else? Who do you think you are? And that's when we have the breastplate of righteousness says, see this? This. Do you see this? This is the righteousness of Christ. I'm not here because of me. I'm here because of the grace of Jesus Christ, my Savior and Lord. And he can't get through it. And he can't get you in the back because you're covered there too. In other words, Jesus saying, I got you back. So put on my righteousness and I got you front and back. And I'll protect you. I'll protect you. You're putting me on as your righteousness. You're not self-righteous. You're not saying I'm good because I go to church or I'm good because I did this. You're saying there's nothing in me that's good. My righteousness is as filthy rags. However, Jesus Christ makes me righteousness. This is not my works. This is what Jesus Christ has done on the cross for me and rose again for me. And that's my righteousness. And the devil can't penetrate it. That's what it is. That's what that means. This is powerful, powerful stuff. Oh, man. And by the way, if you're saying, well, what was that thing made out of? Bronze. Bronze. And if you were an officer, you got to have chainmail. So officers got to have chainmail. Yeah. So if you were, you know, an airborne captain, you got to wear chainmail. Of course, I don't think the Romans jumped out of airplanes back then, but they were still developing that at that time. But anyway, but you get the idea, right? And so he's saying, I'm your chainmail. I'm your bronze. Except it's blood. And the devil cannot stand in the presence of the blood, the holiness of Jesus Christ. Isn't this good stuff? And so, and, you know, we got to close here. I'm running out of time. I've got to find a place to shut this down. But so he says, put on that full armor of God, and then this belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and then your feet. He said, I want you to stand with your feet. You know, that's a hard one for people when it says your feet shod. You know, let me read this here. I'm trying to figure out how to do this fast, and yet I don't want to go too fast. Your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from gospel peace, and everybody says, I don't understand. Then that it's worded funny. Do you know what he really meant? The Roman soldiers going into battle, they wore those heavy boots that had spikes in them, nails, so that they could dig in. Okay, so they were combat boots. And that's how they could stand in the front line and take that step forward, and those spikes would push in, and then they would hold that big old shield that he talks about, the shield of faith, and then lock them, then interlock them. And if you fired arrows at them, they could raise those up over their head, and the arrows would stick in the shield, and then they'd drop it back down. It's just really hard to take on a Roman legion. At the height of Roman power, you couldn't take them on. Nobody could defeat that. They had warfare of that day. They had it down. And so what he's saying to you, he said, your feet shod with the preparation of peace. What does that mean? It means this. Get this. It means that I know that I'm saved. And I know the blood of Jesus has cleansed me from all sin. I have God's peace. Jesus said, I give you peace, not as the world gives. I give you peace. And it's that peace. And he said, I can stand there in warfare against the enemy with the peace of God that keeps me standing, saying no matter what the world does to itself, no matter what the enemy opposing me tries to do, I'm immovable. I am dug in. I have peace that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I have peace that what God says in His Word is true, and nothing is going to back me up. That's what he's talking about. And so he says, put that on and dig in with peace that God's got me. God's got this. It's in his hands, and let him fight this battle. And then he says, take up, you know, faith as a shield. The shield, listen to this. This shield was made out of two layers of wood, and they glued them together. I've always wondered, what kind of glue did they have back then? But I hadn't found that out yet. So They glued this wood together, and then they covered the top with a linen or hide, and they bound the thing with iron. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Have you thought about carrying something like that? I thought a combat loadout was heavy. But we're talking about a shield bound with iron and double layered like this. That's a heavy thing. These guys were tough. And that's what they carried. And so, and that linen, that hide out there, the enemy had learned to take and dip little darts and pitch, and they'd fire these burning darts at them, and that shield would catch those darts in there, and they'd go out. They couldn't burn. Is everybody with me? It was double in that hide, and all that they had in there, and that wouldn't catch. That's why they put that hide on the outside. But they'd fire fiery darts. I was reading in Scevia, and you don't know all these people, but Scevia, in one big battle, he said he counted over 200 darts in his shield after the battle was over. 200. And he said it was over 200 in his shield, and they were on fire, and they were all extinguished. And so when he says, hold up the shield of faith, he's saying this. Listen to me. The enemy tries to wound your spirit, wound your conscience. People will say things to you, talk ugly about you. And sometimes it can be someone close to you that just say something so nasty, so ugly, it just wounds you to the core. Everybody experienced that? He's saying, you put that faith, that shield of faith up there saying, I don't care what you say about me. I know what God says about me. And God says, I love you, Tony, so much that I sent my only son to die for you on the cross. I love you that much. And put your own name in there. And he loves you that much. He sent his only son that you would not perish but have everlasting life. And somebody say, I think you're this, and I don't like your Christianity, and you blah, 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 and you blah, blah, blah. And he's saying, you hold up that shield. Those are fiery darts of the enemy. And you hold that shield of faith that God believes in me. Jesus died for me. Jesus rose again for me. I am washed in the blood of the Lamb, and God cares me. And I was just reading a passage here a few days ago that said, even if my father and mother leave me, the Lord will take me in. That's the shield of faith. You say, Tony, you going to close anytime soon? Right now. Okay. Okay. Take your salvation as a helmet. And that, you know, we know that one. I believe in Jesus Christ and don't doubt it. Even if junk happens, even if you say a cuss word, even if you lose your temper. I know I'm not talking about anybody in here, but people you know, comfort them with this. You know, in other words, even if you do and say those human things that happen with us as people, and the devil will tempt you to say you can't be saved, say something like that. Yes, I am. The most righteous person in this room will have a bad day. Everybody agree with that? And when you do, you confess that and repent of it immediately. And you claim your power and your strength. God loves me. And if I confess my sins before God, God is faithful and just to forgive me my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And we're good. The blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. And so you put that on as your helmet and take the word of God as a sword and you use it. You fight with it. Remember what Jesus did when he was tempted in the wilderness? Jesus didn't argue with the devil. You know what Jesus did? Take that lesson, and I'm hurrying, but you'll get this. All he did was quote the word, it is written, it is written, it is written. And the devil left him, and angels came and ministered to him, and that's all you got to do. It is written. It is written. Thus says the Lord, it is written. And that's our power. And he said, pray in the Spirit. And that means let the Spirit be the atmosphere in which you pray. In other words, when I'm praying in the Spirit, you say, I have to pray for the Holy Spirit to come up? The Holy Spirit's already in you. It just means pray in that atmosphere of the Spirit. Pray what the Word of God says. You know, when you say, I don't know what to pray, then pray what Jesus prayed. Pray the Lord's, the model prayer. Pray the Scripture. Pray God's Word. That's praying. And the Spirit will move in that. And then he'll lead you out to. And so he says, take this whole thing and be strong and put on your armor. And you don't fear the things of darkness. Yeah, there's an outer world. And they're trying to use people for world dominion. And they want to hurt Christians. They want to hurt a lot of people. But they can't hurt you and me. Why? Because we're here and we believe in Jesus. And Jesus believes in us. And he's not going to ever leave us or forsake us. Not ever, not ever, not ever. It is written. It is written. It is written. And that's the most hurry up I've had to do in a while, but my golly, I didn't know this was going to go that long. That's just more than I could chew. Okay. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Your will, not ours, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day, Lord, every day our daily bread. And Jesus is our daily bread. And then we need our things to eat. And we need emotional bread. And we need financial bread. But Jesus is the bread of life. Give us our daily bread in whatever way we need it. And Lord, forgive us our sins. And God, give us the grace to forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation or trial or testing, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us from the evil one. For yours, Lord, is honor, kingdom, power, and glory forever and ever. In Jesus' name, we pray and we praise you. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being here this morning.